Let's look at scripture here. I'm going to preach on the dark night of the soul. We've all been there. Some of you right there now, right now. The dark night of the soul, when your faith doesn't seem to really be working. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season." Now notice this. Just for a season. It's not always going to be like it is right now. When you're in your situation is going to change. I promise you that. It's just for a season. Seasons come and seasons go. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be," and usually does, "ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations," and that could be translated trials, storms, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." You may be seated. Christian life is a faith life. When I went to Bible college before I did in my undergraduate studies, my uncle said that he would pay my first year, and I appreciated it. He gave me a check, but I noticed that was only for half a year, so I figured he'd pay the other half when the other half is due. Maybe he didn't believe because I quit everything in my life. Why pay for two semesters? He may not go the second semester. I did. I went forward, and then I went on and got my master's degree. But nevertheless, I went to college, I studied, and then I went home for the fall break or the winter break, and then I came back. I never said anything to my uncle. I didn't call him up and try to dun him for the other half. I figured, you know, I did call him, talk to him, but I never said anything about the money, and so he never said anything, and so I thought, you know, well, thank God for the first semester paid. And I went back, and I sat in the president's office, and he said, after he talked to me about the second semester, Brother Branham said, "And how do you want to pay for your second semester?" And I said, "By faith." Well, faith don't pay the bills and keep the lights on. But you know what Brother Branham said to me? He said, "Don't you have any money?" I said, "Yeah, I got $20. He said, "You better keep that because you're probably going to need that." And he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "We're going to believe God." I said, "Yes, sir. Well, I'm believing God. God's going to make a way. God's going to do it. And praise God. I'm just going to pay by faith. He's going to work it out." And it wasn't long after that I got a phone call in the dormitory. This is before cell phones, folks. We still had a pay phone in the dormitory. Some of you don't even know what a pay phone is. But I got a call from my uncle, and my uncle said, "Guy, I want to apologize to you, but I just realized I told you I'd pay for a whole year. I've only prayed for one semester, and I want to pay for how much is it?" I told him how much it was. He said, "The check's in the mail." Still owe it. Amen. No, I'm kidding. Check's in the mail. Never mind. And it came. And I gladly took it to the president, and I put it on his desk, and I said, "Paid in full." Amen. Thank God for faith. Amen. Now, let me tell you this. There's other things I could tell you. As a matter of fact, on this last trip I took, there's some things I'm going to tell you in the next few weeks that it's going to be really, really uplifting to you. Some things I've seen God work and move in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And we love those stories. Don't we love those stories? I love to hear those kind of stories. They're so thrilling. And I mean, when all that happens. But let me ask you this. What happens when the money doesn't come in? What happens when the baby doesn't get healed? What happens when the thing that you're expecting and the thing that you're praying for, it just doesn't materialize? You see, the fact is, you'll be there because that is the reality of life. That is the reality of faith, and that is the reality of Christian living. Because everything is not on the bright side. Everything is not always in the light. Sometimes you got to live in the dark. Sometimes you got to pray in the dark. Sometimes you got to wake up in the midnight hour and realize that you need a touch from God. But it seemed like Job said, I can't find him anywhere. You've been there. I've been there. If you hadn't been there, you'll get there before it's all over. And it's in those times that your faith must stand and your faith must be anchored in the right kind of foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Because if your faith is in anything else, your faith will fail you. So when you're in that moment that the poet calls the dark night of the soul, well, I want you to understand it's in that time that God is just as real then as he is when the sun is shining and the blessings are flowing and you see the goodness of God. Now, you can't live this Christian life apart from faith. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You see, you have faith, and your faith is what gets you through. And I'm not talking about, and I want you to understand this. I'm not going to be long. Got plenty of time, though. I'm not talking about faith to get a new car. I'm not talking about faith to get a new house. I'm not talking about faith to get this or that or another thing. Material things, okay? I want you to get that out of your mind right now. I'm not saying God doesn't bless us with those things. I thank God for the blessings of God, but you got to take it like Job and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, and blessed be the name of the Lord. So it doesn't matter if he gives it to me or takes it. It's still God, and he's still God, and I'm still going to praise him in spite of. Amen. But what I'm talking about is your faith, the faith that's in you to believe God, to trust God, to hold on to God. And that's literally what we have to do sometimes. Sometimes when we pray, maybe for an outdoor event. Now, somebody would say, you don't do that. We got one coming up. Because I don't believe in that stuff, you know, where you don't say nothing negative. Man, there's a lot of negative things in this world. And I'm not going to put my head in the sand and hope they go away, because they're not going to go away. I'm going to preach this morning in spite of the few amens I'm getting. But maybe we had an outdoor event, and we've had this done. We've had this happen before. Man, we had a plan. We prepared. And all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. And brother, the what we used to call a toad strangler came. And we couldn't do it. And you say, where's God and all that? Well, I tell you, God's still there. Somebody say amen. Maybe you prayed for a loved one. And the loved one, you knew you're going to pray, God, heal him. And you want God to heal him. And I've seen God heal them. But what happens when they get worse and even die? What do you do then? Seem like faith has failed you. Seem like God has failed you. Seem like you just don't want to believe anymore. You just want to throw in the towel, give up, and quit. But let me just tell you this, and it's a shocking reality, and that is, life is full of disappointments. Life is full of unhinged disappointments and trials and problems. And literally, life is not fair. And sometimes faith doesn't seem to be working. And the key word is seem to be working. It's still working. Trust me on this. If you know God, when God is God, when the sun is shining, you can know God when it's at the midnight hour. You don't believe it? Go back to, I think it's the 15th chapter, or it's in the book of Acts, when they were in the prison at midnight and they prayed and they sought God and God showed up. But I want you to know that the truth is, we only think that we can believe God in the good times. But the truth is, we've got to believe God in all times, because what we say is God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But I can tell you, every day's not a good day, and every week's not a good week, and every year's not a good year. But in all of that, God is still God. He's still a good God and is greatly to be praised. Amen. Oh, yeah. You see, you're going to be disappointed. My son, back years ago, when he's a little bitty guy, he had a boxer. and his name was Butch. He loved that dog. I loved that dog. But one day, I don't even remember. I asked my wife, I said, how did Butch die? And she said, I think it was Parvo. I said, where did we get him at? She don't remember either. It's been that long ago. And he died. And I came in, and she said, he's dead. She said, go out there and dig a grave and bury it before Simeon gets home, because it's going to break his heart. And so I got ready to go dig the hole. You may think I'm a bad parent. I don't know. It don't matter to me this morning. Because mine are all raised. Praise God. You do what you got to do. I did what I had to do. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Because I need my son to understand that life is always not always good times. He's got to understand the disappointments of life. And so I waited for him to get home. I said, you know what? I want him to grow up and be a man. Because if you go through life, what they call them, snowflake, like a snowflake, man, you'll cower in the corner when somebody, you know, says something you don't like. Oh, amen. I want you to know, if that's your attitude, you ain't going to make it in life, all right? I want my son to make it in life. So I said, he got home, and I said, son, got bad news for you. I said, Butch is dead, and, well, you know what happens. He fell out crying and had a spill there. And I said, come on, we're going to go bury him. And so we went out there, and I made him dig the hole. And then I helped him. We put old Butch down in there, covered him up, had a funeral service for him, went back inside. You say that's awful cruel, Pastor. Well, you might say that if you want to, but you're a little snowflake will cry when it. Never mind. But anyhow, but he had to learn. He had to mature. And you know what? Life is full of disappointments, and God wants your faith to mature. Hebrews chapter 10 and 36. I think I've got that up here. I want you to see this. Hebrews 10 and 36 says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now, in the NI or the International Standard Version, it says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done God's will, you can receive what he has promised. But you got to have endurance. You have to have patience. You have to have enduring faith, because some people escape by their faith while others endure by their faith. And thank God for the power that helps you to endure. Because if you never experience the dark side of life, or if you never experience the dark side of faith, in the sense that it seems like that God's not answering, and it seems like that nothing's working out, and it seems like everything's not just going just the way that you had it planned. If you don't have the kind of faith to get you through that, then you really don't have real faith. Your faith must be tested. Your faith must be tried. Your faith must be like the gold that goes into the fire. But when it comes out on the other side, it's not gone. It's better. Amen. And it's purer. And it's stronger. And that's what God is trying to make out of all of us. He takes the circumstance of life and he allows us to go in them and through them and out of them, and we come out the other side a lot stronger. Amen. You see, our faith seems to be strong when we can feel it, when we can touch it, when we can see it, when we can operate in the five senses of our human life and human being, and we can, you know, we can smell it. By faith. Hey, you smell, I don't know, I'm just saying. How can you really touch faith? But I'm just saying, when you can really see things, and it's easy to pray when it looks like and you know things are going to work out. And maybe the story I told at the beginning wasn't really a the best illustration I could use, because in the back of my mind, I knew my uncle was going to give me the other check. I wasn't going to ask him for it. I was just praying God wake his memory up a little bit and let him do it. But nevertheless, there's been times that I didn't have anything in the wings.
I didn't have anybody out there that says, I'm going to do this for you. The only one I had was God. And you know what I learned? That God is going to be there when ain't nobody else there. You can trust him in the dark. You can trust him in the storm. You can trust him in the midnight hour, because God is faithful. And if you never have a trial, you never know that God is true. You'll never know what I know if you don't go through what you have to go through. Because everybody wants a testimony. Oh, preacher, let me testify and give you a testimony. Well, thank God for your testimony, but you can't have a testimony if you don't have a test to go first. Amen. You got to go through the test to have the testimony. And you got to go through the fire so you come out the other side. You don't just walk in the fire and say, well, you know what? The fire's out. Amen. No, you got to walk in the fire. It's got to be lit. It's got to be hot and heated. It's in that time that you can shout out, there's a fourth man in this fire, and God just didn't deliver me from it, he delivered me through it. And in the darkness of my soul, I know my faith will stand, because I'm standing on the word of God. Oh, we want to touch it, we want to feel it, we want to know it. You know, you're gonna, you know, somebody gonna leave you $1 million, man, you have faith then. Amen. You have so much faith, you'll probably go get a new wardrobe before it even comes in. Put it on the credit card. I'll pay it off when my money comes in. What happens if the money doesn't come in? You're going to take that stuff right on back. Amen. It's easy to have faith. Kind of like the little girl that was scared. Storming outside, she came to the doorway. Said, Mom, I'm scared. And so Mama was trying to, you know, help her with her fear. And said, don't worry, baby. It's only a storm. She said, but Mama, I'm scared of storms. Baby, let me tell you something. Go back to your bed. Just remember, God is with you. And she said, that's fine, Mama. I believe it. But how about this? Why don't I get in your bed and sleep with Daddy, and you go get in my bed and sleep with God? Amen. You see, it's easy to have faith when you got something to hold on to. But what if you don't have nothing to hold on to? You have nothing that gives you that little signal, that little sign. I got news for you. The only thing you got to hold on to is the only thing that's going to stand the test of time. And it is the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. And if you'll stand on this word of God, I want you to know, when the world is on fire, God will still be God. And the goal of your faith is maturity. And if you allow God to take you through the dark times, then God will mature your faith. Let me show you something about mature faith. Mature faith. I'm going to show you something. See, there's three levels of faith. There's the superficial faith, there's a superstitious faith, and there's a supernatural faith.
For you that are taking notes, this would probably be your sign right here. Good time.
There's a superficial faith. Those are the people that things kind of work out for them real good, and then they come to church, and man, they're wanting to worship God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The loudest ones. But let things happen to them on Monday. You don't see them again. Superficial. Is it according to the circumstance? If it's good times, then it's good faith. But if it's bad times, it's no faith. Then there's superstitious faith. I run across that all the time. All the time. If I just believe, if I just believe. What are you believing in, man? Hello? I mean, really, I mean, if I can just, I know it's all going to be good for me. Well, you know, it might not be. I'm just being honest with you. I have people all the time, pray for me, pray for me. I pray for folks. I'm not talking about y'all. Some people get themselves in some situations and want the preacher to pray them out of them. Sometimes you got to pay the piper. Sometimes you got to face the judge. Sometimes you got to pay for your sin. Amen. That's superstitious if you just believe, man.
And let me just tell you this, and I'm trying to hurry. I really am. I didn't get to preach last Sunday, so hang with me, okay? Everything's for a purpose. That's what they say. Everything's for a purpose. Well, you know, that's not really actually true, okay? First of all, you're misquoting some scripture that said all things work together for the good to them. There's a condition here. These are the people that he's talking to, them that love God are called according to his purpose. And people that don't live for God, they can't just wake up one day and say, now I know everything's for a purpose. Now let me tell you something. It doesn't work like that, okay? That's called a superstitious faith. And then there's the supernatural faith. That's the kind of faith we want to get to right there. We want to get past the superficial, superstitious, get into the supernatural. That kind of faith. That kind of faith. You see, the deal is that kind of faith is having done all to stand, you stand. It's that kind of faith is to believe, to trust, to slip your hands up and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I know that the Lord, I may be down, but I'm not out. And everything may be working against me, but I love God. I called according to his purpose. And I know it's all going to work out some way, somehow. I don't see how it's going to do it today. And I may not see it tomorrow. And it may be 10 years from now. And it may be when I walk into eternity, then I'll understand. But I know that God knows, and I know that he's going to work it all out. He's going to put it all together one day. See, superficial faith lasts until it rains. Superstitious faith lasts until it pains. But supernatural faith lasts until it gains. Paul said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I gain it. One day I'll gain it. Now let's talk about your mature faith that God wants to get you to. Three things you got to know. Back up one. Mature faith believes in the supernatural power of God. Leave it. It's probably my fault. Probably the devil's fault. We blame everything on the devil. Amen. That's all right. That's for you slower people who can't write too fast. You can go ahead and get that second one down before I get there, okay? But mature faith believes in the supernatural power of God. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I believe God. I believe God. That means God, he can do anything. God is able, and God is more than able to do anything that I could ever believe or pray for. And even sometimes he does things for me that I don't even pray for. I want you to understand, that's called supernatural power. Has anybody ever experienced supernatural power when they said it won't happen, or they said, you know, you're going to die, or they said, you know, this is going to happen in your life, or this is not going to happen in your life? But God came on the scene, and God's able to do that. I want you to understand that, and I want you to have faith for that. I want you to come in the prayer line every time we have prayer for the sick. If you're sick, or you got a need, or you got a problem, if you got to ride this altar to heaven, that's fine too. If you just need to come get right with God every Sunday, that's fine with me, but I want you to understand, this is called supernatural faith. When God just shows up and does things, and you see it, and you know it, and you walk away and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. If God had not showed up, I would have never seen this happen. Oh, I got something I'm gonna tell you about. I ain't gonna tell you today, though. You gotta come back, man. I had seen a miracle. Gotta come back. I seen a miracle. No, I'm not going to tell it. I'm not going to tell it. I ain't got time today. Amen. We read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it gives us a list of supernatural power. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? You need to read between the lines there and understand. God turned a den of lions into a Holiday Inn, and they slept all night. God showed up. Man, that's a great story. I love that story. We love those stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in a fiery furnace, came out of a fiery furnace. Fourth man showed up. Praise God. Beautiful, wonderful example of supernatural power. And you notice this, that it says that they came out, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. I used to go to the barbershop. I don't go to the barbershop no more. I go to the beauty salon. Amen. Just saying. I remember I used to go in them old barbershops, man. And that was before they had the law. You couldn't smoke in public places. Man, I go in there, you have to fight the smoke. And I thought, when I read that, you know, they came out of the fiery furnace, not even with the smell of smoke on them. And I thought, man, I can't even come out of the barbershop like that. But they did. It's a thrilling story. We serve a mighty God. And God does and can do incredible things. If you walk with Jesus any amount of time, you'll have your story of the supernatural. You'll have something you can say and remember and tell your kids and your grandkids. And so don't ever say God something God can't do, because God can do anything but fail. Understand that. He's got supernatural power. Don't lose faith in God. But the second point is, mature faith bows to the sovereign purpose of God. See, those Word of Faith folk, they don't want to talk about the second point. All they want to talk about is the first point. All those people on TV, they want to talk about the supernatural power of God. And that's fine. I do too. But I also want to tell you the whole counsel of God, the true and living Word and everything in it. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not just some words and not just some phrases, but all of God's Word. And there is God's sovereign power, yes, sir, or supernatural power. But sometimes there's also, or not sometimes, every time there's God's sovereign purpose. Sometimes God's ways are mysterious. You think, I can't figure it out, Pastor. That's okay. You can't figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. You don't need to figure it out. You need to trust God and know that God has a purpose in your life. We love the exciting victories, but sometimes they don't seem that close and they don't seem to come. What do you do? What you do is you rest in the sovereignty of God. You put your life in His hands. You don't try to dictate to God who God is. Oh, well, God, you know, He says in your word, if I have faith, I can do anything, and God, you'll do anything. And I've got you there, Lord. I got you on this one. Let me tell you something. You ain't got God on nothing, because God is sovereign. And you know what sovereignty means? I'm going to tell you what sovereignty means. I'm going to tell you in the Greek what it means. And I'll even tell you what it means in the Hebrew. What it means is this. It means God will do anything He wants to do when He wants to do it. He ain't got to ask anybody. Amen. I know that's not good grammar, all right? But it still works for me. He is God. He don't have to ask you. He don't have to ask me. He doesn't get a committee together of angels and say, let's talk about this. What's the best plan? When God gets ready to do something, or if God decides not to do something, He is God. He is able. But He has a plan that's bigger than your life. If you can see Him and know Him in His sovereignty, it'd take a lot of stress out of your life. I prayed, nothing happened. Well, that don't mean nothing happened. You're growing, aren't you? Hello? You're maturing, aren't you? I don't have time. Let me just tell you this real short story. I've told you before, but just for those that never heard it before. About the time the guy woke up outside of his house, and there was a big rock, a big boulder, and God simply said, push on the rock. And so he went out there and pushed on it, couldn't move it. Day after day, week after week, year after year happened. And man, it was several years went by. Every day he tried to push, but he couldn't push it. And finally he looked up and said, God, I can't do it anymore. I can't move this rock. And then God spoke to him and said, son, if you remember right, I never asked you to move the rock. I just told you to push on it. He said, but look at your life. He
said, your arms are stronger. Your core is stronger. Your legs have grown. You have grown and matured in your body, and you're stronger than you've ever been in your life. He said, son, I never told you to move the rock because you can't move the rock. Only I can move the rock. I told you to push on it. He said, now step back. And the man stepped back, and God said, move, and the thing disintegrated in front of him. Let me tell you, God's just telling you to push. God's just telling you to walk this thing by faith. Don't walk by sight. Have faith in God's sovereignty. Know him in the brightness of the sun, but also know him in the darkness of the midnight hour, because he is sovereign. He has a will. Now, best example I can give you, I'm going to hurry, and that is, it's a classic example in Acts chapter 12. See, you got to see this. It's the same prison. Write it down. I don't have it up here for you today. It's the same prison, same Herod, same attitude, same human purpose, but different divine purposes. The Bible says that Herod killed James. It pleased the people so much that he said, I'm going to kill Peter too. Well, he didn't get to kill Peter. The question is, why was one delivered and one wasn't? Did God love Peter more than he loved James? Was Peter more important than James was? Do you think that maybe the church, this is what it is probably, the church prayed more for Peter than they did James? Let's all join together. We're going to pray for James and we're going to pray for Peter. Well, let's pray for Peter tonight, okay? And everybody, okay. And is it that? No, they didn't pray for Peter more. Not at all. They prayed for them both, because both of them were men of God and both of them had a purpose of God. But let me tell you something. None of these things are true. What is true is God is sovereign. He had a plan, and for James is to get his head cut off, and for Peter it was to be delivered from the same prison, from the same Herod, with the same attitude and the same human purpose. But God had another purpose, and he delivered him. See, that's the purpose of God. That's the sovereignty of God. Let me tell you this, and you write this down. This may be the most important thing I'm going to say today, and that is, do not derive your theology from circumstance. Do not, maybe the word gets better. Do not get your theology. Don't build your theology on your circumstance. Because circumstance comes and goes. Circumstance happens, and if you don't watch, you'll come to the conclusion. I mean, James could have come to the conclusion if it had been the other way around, and Peter got delivered, and here's James saying, man, I'm going to get delivered too, just like Peter did. And they march him out there and cut his head off right before the blade comes down. Oh, God, I thought you got delivered. You don't love me anymore. He could have said that. God don't love me anymore. Let me show you real quick. Let me show you something here. This is kind of interesting to me. John chapter 11 and 5, it said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. And Lazarus died. Look at the 14th and 15th. Then said Jesus, when he found out that he was dead, said to them plainly, he didn't mince his words. He wasn't politically correct, sorry. He said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. I'm glad. Wait a minute. It says he loved Lazarus, but he's glad that he's dead? Now, I don't have time to decipher all that, except to tell you to try to reconcile those scriptures without knowing the whole story. You'll get mixed up in your theology. You'll say, man, I don't know. God's kind of, I think he's bipolar, amen. I think he's schizophrenic. I think, he loves and then he's glad. I mean, something wrong with Jesus. No, sir, you got to know the whole story. And if you know the whole story, then I want you to understand you can reconcile all of this together, knowing the whole story, that God had greater plans for Lazarus, and God had greater plans for the Son of God that was going to be crucified just in a few days. And it was in his plan to raise him from the dead. You see, faith not only faith
if it receives from God what we want. But faith is faith when we get what God gives us. Amen. I mean, whatever he gives us. Remember, God has some sovereign purposes in life. Don't forget that. If you don't understand that, you'll blame God for every bad thing that happens in your life. Kind of like the old guy that was dying. Only had a few minutes left. He looked up at his dear wife, Martha, holding the hand. And he said, "There you are, Martha. Aren't you beautiful? You know, Martha, you were there when I was drafted to Korea. You were there." He said, "Martha, you know, you were there when our house burnt down and we didn't have any insurance. Martha, you were there. We got in that terrible wreck in our little VW. Thank God we survived, but little VW didn't make it. Martha, you were there when our shoe shop burned to the ground. We lost everything we had." She just kind of patted his hand and said, "Yeah, baby, honey, sweetheart, I love you." He looked and said, "You know what, Martha? You're bad luck." I'm sorry. He blamed her for the trouble. Instead of seeing his dear wife as a pillar who stood by him, he saw her as the problem who stabbed him and blamed her for all the root of his trouble. What I'm saying is, you'll do the same thing to God if you don't watch. You'll start blaming God for every bad thing that happens in your life. Don't make the mistake with God. God is not the root of our problem. He is our solution. He is God. He's not a means to the end. He is our end. He said, "I am the beginning and the end. I'm the beginning of your faith, the author of your faith, and I am the finisher of your faith. I started it, I'll finish it," and we must get him to the focal point. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's not just a stepping stone. See, some folks think Jesus is just a stepping stone. No, 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 no. He's not a stepping stone. He is the rock of ages cleft for me. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the chief cornerstone of our faith. He is what everything else is built on. And if you're going through tough times, know that God is going through tough times with you. If you're going through a storm, know that God is in the storm with you. And he's not your trouble. He is who you need to live. Lean on. Amen. And number three, my final point, brethren. Mature faith is based on the settled promises of God. Settled promises of God. The promises of God are yea and amen, the Bible says, to them that believe. You can stake your life, you can stake your future on the settled promises of God. You see, you must have an eye to the future. And sometimes we expect a little too much out of life, to be honest with you. Do you hear me? We expect a little too much out of life and not enough in God. See, it's not, I don't mean to keep harping on this, I don't mean to keep coining this, but it's not your best life now. No, it's your best God now. And you may have to go through hell on this earth to get to heaven, but you'll get there. You may have to go through a fiery furnace, but you'll get through. See, we measure life by eat, drink, and be merry. And then the stock market plummets and people jump off buildings because that's where their faith was. Even in good times, of this life, the good times of life will ultimately fail you. But as a Christian, if we're not careful, what happens is we put our faith in our blessings. We put our faith in our miracles. We put our faith even in our church, in our preacher, in our Sunday school teacher, in our mother, our father, whoever. Some stalwart hero of our faith. And when things don't
go down like you think they do or should, and things don't happen, and maybe, you know, it just doesn't work out. I thought it was all going to work. It's going to work out. Trust me, it may not work out right now, so don't put all your faith in life, okay? You got to put your faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in faith. Have faith in a preacher. Have faith in a sermon. Have faith in a church. Have faith in somebody. He said, have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, come heaven, hell, high water, the world can be on fire. But I want you to know you'll keep standing, and having done all, you'll stand, because the promises of God is you can't go under for going over. Amen. Come back to the instruments, please, Brother Kendall. So here's the deal. Your faith will melt like a popsicle on a hot pavement if you don't put it in the right place. So if everything turns upside down for you, and say all your money's lost, remember your greatest treasure is not your money. I lost everything. You didn't lose God. If you've got God, like the songwriter said, if you've got God, you've got enough to start over again. Amen. Maybe you put your faith in you know, I want to be famous and well known. Nobody knows who I am. Big deal. Fame ain't all what's cut out to be. I don't know that by experience. I just know it by hearing the famous people talk. I've heard many of them say, I love the money, but I don't like the fame. Fame gets old. See, man, we can't even blow our nose and they don't take a picture of us on the front page. How'd you like that? How'd you like to have something stuck in your tooth and you're trying to get it out and there you are. My wife is it. Even there's some famous preachers too. You're not looking at one of them, but there are some. And this one preacher, you probably know him. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. T.D. Jakes. My wife was in his church one day. He's preaching along there. Tripped and fell into his pulpit. And all the... Millions of people saw that. She told me about that. I said, man, I'm glad it happened to him. If it happens to me, you know, it's just, you know, not too many going to see it. So fame's not always caught up to me. But here's the deal. If you're not famous, big deal. Guess what? Here's the good news. God knows you. He knows those that are his, it says. Maybe you had a loved one in Jesus who died. Turns your life upside down. Well, here's the good news. You have homecoming in heaven coming. It's coming. There's better days ahead. God's not forgotten his promises. And if you won't forget his promises, guess what? He doesn't forget. So don't forget the promises of God. Pursue them, believe them, stand on them. And when the world's on fire, just be as sure as the day he spoke the promise of God is going to come to pass. Just it may not come to pass just like I want it to. You know, I have prayed for a lot of people that I loved and was sick. And I thought God was going to heal them. Now, I've seen God heal some of them. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, I hadn't seen. I've seen the miracles. You got to get the balance here, church. Don't go out with just one point. Get all the points together and say, this is what faith is. You see, his plan is not always our plan. And you know what? The people I prayed for, they're healed now. They're healed in heaven. And that's even a better healing. Did you ever pay attention to our prayers? The average prayer meeting, we're praying for the sick more than we pray for the lost. We're more interested in keeping the saints out of heaven than the lost out of hell. You think about that. But listen to me. One day
you will stay faithful, if you will stand on this word and trust God, believe God, and even when it doesn't work out and it seems like you're in the dark time of your soul, there's a better day coming. That's the optimism of faith. See, one day we will see clearly. One day the fog will dissipate. It was Paul that said we look through a glass darkly now, but one day face to face, it's going to be one day. One day our vision will be clear and focused. One day the sun will shine again. One day the moon will radiate again. One day the plan of God will make sense. One day you'll see the whole picture. One day you'll understand in the dark times of life that God was there, and it will burst forth in brightness. One day the rose will bloom again in the desert. One day God will make the crooked way straight. One day God will silence the dragon. One day death will give over to life, and all things will be made new, and there'll be no more dying, and there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more debt, and there'll be no more trouble, and there'll be no more problem, and no more devils. Praise and blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. I'm telling you, one day, it's all going to happen. We're going to get on the bright side. Today might be that day for you, my friend, but I'm telling you, hold on, hang in, and believe. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord,